Are you still growing? I look at Grant Fuller every week and I think this guy is never going to stop growing. Not sure how the Fullers keep pants on this boy. The guy just grows another foot every time I see him. Are you still growing? Now, for most of us, we've maxed out the upward vertical movement on our growth. And so when our body's maxed out in that direction, we didn't stop growing. We just started growing in other directions. When our bodies and our bones would no longer go up, our body said, well, we'll just go out then. And so the question is, are you still growing? It's a story about a New York businessman who decided that he had had enough of the New York lifestyle, and so he moved out into the country. He was going to become a farmer. He knew absolutely nothing about farming, but he wanted a different life. So he bought some land out in the middle of nowhere. He went to the local co-op, went to the local feed and livestock store. He said, I want to buy 100 chicks. 100 chicks. The guy said, well, what are you going to do with those chicks? He said, well, I'm going to be a chicken farmer. I said, okay, well, 100 chicks, that's a lot of chicks. And the businessman said, well, I'm serious about this. I'm not going to do this halfway. I want 100 chicks. So he got 100 chicks, took them home. The next week, that New York businessman showed back up at the local co-op. He said, I need to buy another 100 chicks. And the store owner was a bit impressed. Wow, you really are serious about this, aren't you? He said, well, yeah, I've got to work through some problems that I've been having. The store owner said, some problems, huh? He said, what kind of problems? The business said, what? Well, the chicks, they're not growing the way that I thought that they would grow. Okay, they're not growing. Okay. Well, I'll get you another 100. And the businessman said, or the store owner said, by the way, why don't you think they're growing the way that you think they ought to grow? And he said, well, that last batch you gave me, I'm thinking I just planted them too close together in the ground. And they're not coming up the way that I thought they would come up. It's a bad story, isn't it? But here was a guy who knew nothing about growth. Who knew nothing, somebody liked it, who knew nothing about chicken farming, who knew nothing about chickens growing, and I think there's some of us who may not have a whole lot of ideas about growing. We might know how to grow this way, and when we go to a buffet restaurant, we know how to grow this way. But are we growing in the only way that really matters? You know, when eternity comes, it will not matter how tall you were on this earth. Or for some, how tall you weren't on this earth. When eternity comes, it's not going to matter how much you weighed or how much you didn't weigh on this earth. It's not going to matter how much you grew physically on this earth. When eternity comes, the only thing that's going to matter is how much did you grow spiritually? Are you still growing? Too many of us are like that New York businessman who are trying to grow, but we have buried ourselves in the world. We've buried ourselves in the cares and the pleasures of this world. And when we bury ourselves in what this world has to offer and we expect to grow, we're going to be surprised like that chicken farmer was. Well, we're just not growing the way we thought we would be growing. As a Christian this morning, are you still growing? If you don't have your Bible open to Galatians chapter 5, I want to encourage you to go to that passage this morning. And I want us to see this morning the growth plan, the growth recipe that God has given to us to know, not only to know how to grow, but to be able to measure our growth. To be able to determine, am I really growing in the way that I should be growing? Am I really growing at the rate I ought to be growing? And in what areas should I be putting emphasis when I try to grow? When you get to Galatians chapter 5, it's interesting that it seems that there is more discussion. It seems that there have been more sermons, not here, but just across the world. Seems that there are more sermons preached on the works of the flesh than there are on the fruit of the Spirit. I don't know why that is. Don't even know if that's accurate. But it seems that way. As I've looked around and looked at what others have done, it seems like we talk a lot more about the works of the flesh than we do the fruit of the Spirit. But if you want to know how to grow, here is God's formula right here for growth. He even uses a word to tell us that it's about growth. He uses the word fruit. What kind of fruit do you like to eat? Not specifically what type of fruit, but do you like those bananas when they're bright green? Do you like those bananas when they're dark green? Do you like those bananas when they're dark brown? Are those the good bananas? What kind of fruit do you like to eat? What kind of oranges do you like? Do you like oranges that are green? Are those the best kind of oranges that you like to eat? That's just an oxymoron, isn't it? To eat an orange that is green. That doesn't make any sense. What kind of fruit do you like? Fruit that has grown to a state of perfect ripeness. Now, I know some of you are weird. All right. I know some of you want it a little bit before it's ripe because you're a little sour. All right. And I know some of you are a little extra sweet and you want to wait until but most normal people want it when it's just ripe. Where are you in your growth with the Lord? Are you still in that stage where you have not yet reached where God wants you to be? I know there are none of us who have grown more than where God wants us to be. Where are you in your growth chart? When you were a kid, when you had kids, did you have a growth chart that you'd put your kids up against in the house? My parents lived down here they lived down here for more than 30 years. But we lived over in that house on Woodside Drive for long time, 20, 25 years, something like that. And they had a board in that house where they marked our growth rate, all four siblings, and how we were growing. And when my parents moved to South Carolina in 2000, they ripped that board out of the house, figured the next owners didn't want it, and took it to South Carolina with them. If you were to plot your growth as a Christian, if you were to put marks, as it were, on a wall to say, here's where I am, here's where I was, I can see where I was, here's where I am, and here's where I am trying to go. Where are you in your growth as a Christian? When you get to Galatians chapter 5, it looks like God puts these nine qualities. Notice these are not nine different fruits. The word fruit is singular. There's not an S on it. This is the fruit of the Spirit that possesses nine qualities. And it appears that God puts these qualities into three categories. And this morning, just very briefly, I want us to consider these three categories of growth. And I want you and I want me to evaluate our personal growth. If we're going to grow the way that God wants us to grow, here's the measuring chart. Here's how God has plotted for us to know if we are growing the way He wants us to grow. And as we go through this, we are going to use the only measuring stick. And I hate to even use that terminology. The only measuring stick that matters. If you were going to plot your growth, you might say, well, I'm not as tall as Grant Fuller. And I think all of us except for Johnny Davis could probably say that. I am not as tall as Grant Fuller. We might measure ourselves next to Grant Fuller. Or I am not as short as, and no, I'm not going to put a name to fill in that blank, but I'm not as short as this person. We might measure ourselves next to somebody else. I'm not as good as this person. I'm not as strong as this person. I am not as spiritually mature as this elder. I am not as far along in my Bible knowledge as this widow. And we might compare ourselves to ourselves. The Bible says that's a foolish way to measure. There's only one measurement that matters, and that's Jesus Christ. So what I want us to do is we look at these three different sections of growth is to see how Jesus is our standard in that area of growth. First thing, the first area of growth, the first category of growth where Jesus, where God says, if we're going to measure our growth, we got to know how we're growing in this area, is that we need to focus on our upward growth. Now, it's not height physically. That is our focusing on our upward growth in our relationship with God. How are you doing in your upward growth in your relationship with God? In verse 22, God gives us three different qualities in order to measure that growth. Here's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love is that ultimate virtue that puts others before ourselves, that puts their needs higher than our own. When Jesus came, Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 31, I love the Father. Can you say that? Can you say, I love God? How much do you love God? If you were going to try to quantify how much you love God, how much do you love God? We know Jesus said, Matthew 22 and verse 37, that we are to love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength, all of our mind. How much do you love God? How much did Jesus love God? Jesus loved God. How can we measure Jesus' love? In John 14 and verse 31, he says, I love the Father. And he says, you want to know how you can know that I love the Father? I keep his commandments. The ultimate measure of our love for God is, do we keep his commandments? Am I growing in my relationship with God? I'm only growing if I am expressing my love to Him. How does God know if I love Him? 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3 says, here's the love of God. You want to know what it is? Here's the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And then the rest of that verse says, and His commandments are not burdensome. Are you still growing? Are you still growing in your love for God? Are you still growing in your relationship with God? Are you still growing and keeping the commandments of God? God says if you want to measure your growth, you've got to grow upward. And to grow upward, you need to have the kind of love for God that Jesus had for God. But there's a second quality in that verse. That's the quality of joy. How much joy do you have in being a Christian? How much do you enjoy being a Christian? You know, there's some who have the idea that being a Christian, you're supposed to be sad and mopey and down all the time. And, you know, you're not supposed to ever have fun. You're not ever supposed to have a good time. You're just supposed to be down all the time and let everybody know that you're not having fun because you're a Christian. Boy, what a warped view of being a Christian. Do you enjoy being a Christian? Bible says that there is a level of joy, an emotional joy that we're to have from serving God. Jesus had joy. And it's interesting when we read about Jesus' joy. In Hebrews chapter 2, or Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 2, the Bible says we are to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the... You know the verse? The joy that was set before him. What did Jesus do? He's the author and finisher of our faith who had joy set before him. He's going to experience joy. So what did he do in order to experience joy? Who for the joy that was set before him did what? Endured the cross, despising the shame. Excuse me, that doesn't sound very joyful to me. How can enduring a cross be joyful? Because Jesus looked at the cross and what it was going to accomplish. Jesus looked at the cross and the joy that it could bring mankind, the joy of our salvation that David talked about in Psalm 51. Do you have joy in your salvation? Do you have joy in your relationship with God? God doesn't want you moping around in service to Him. God wants you in Philippians 4 and verse 4 to rejoice. And sometimes we miss these words in Philippians 4 and verse 4. To rejoice in the Lord always. Where is our rejoicing to take place always? Because we are in the Lord. If you're in Christ, there ought to be a joy that you have in serving. How are you growing? Are you still growing in your joy? Are you still growing in your upward reach to God to say, God, I love you. God, I am filled with joy to serve you. And God, in my relationship with you, as I grow upward, I have a peace that can surpass all understanding. Do you have peace in your service to God? There's all sorts of things in this world that want to rob you of your peace. You notice that? Or maybe we should say it this way. We just said there are all sorts of things in this world that want to rob you of your peace. Maybe we could also say there are all sorts of persons in this world that want to rob you of your peace. But you know, joy and peace have something in common. What they have in common is that true joy in serving God has nothing to do with circumstances around us. If Jesus measured His joy by the circumstances around Him, how much joy would Jesus have had? When people were constantly trying to trip Him up, trying to trick Him, trying to get Him to go down a path He didn't want to go, when they were constantly trying to ridicule Him and mock Him, when they took Him and they beat Him, they arrested Him, beat Him, and crucified Him, how much, if joy is based on circumstances, how joyful was Jesus? He's a miserable person. But joy is not based upon circumstances, and neither is peace. Because in our relationship with God, as we grow upward in our love and our joy in serving God, we will have a peace with God. The Bible says we won't be able to understand it. We won't be able to define it. We won't be able to put our finger on it and say, this is what that, it's just, it surpasses all understanding. Do you have a peace in serving God? It says, God, I don't care what's happening in the world. I don't care what's happening with our economy. I do, but I don't. I don't care what is happening in our culture. I do, but I don't. I don't care what's happening with morality in this country. I do, but God, I am more concerned about my relationship with You than any circumstances that are around me. How are you doing in your growth? Are you still growing spiritually as a Christian? If we're going to grow spiritually as a Christian, God says, first of all, we got to grow upward. We got to grow and focus upon Him. If we take our eyes off of the Lord, we'll be like Peter. And instead of growing, we'll start sinking. But there's a second area, second category that God appears to put these qualities in. And that is that not only are we to grow upward, but we are, and this will make some of us happy, we are to grow outward. So we took care of the height issue that Grant has apparently, and now we've moved on to the rest of us and growing outward. But this has nothing to do with your girth, all right? It has nothing to do with your waistline, thankfully. What does this have to do with? It has to do with my relationship with others. If we are going to grow spiritually, it is going to take effort on our part to grow outward. To focus on other people. And again, God uses three different terms to talk about that growth towards others. First of all, He uses that word long suffering. You might have in your Bible the word patience. How you doing with your patience? Now, I'm not talking to the doctors. That doesn't have a TS on the end. How are you doing with your patience with a CE on the end? How's your patience working? Those of you who are married, how's your patience working? By the way, starting next Sunday, we're going to have a young marrieds class. For all of those young adults who are married or who are looking to get married on Sunday mornings, we're going to have a young marrieds class. We invite you to that. I thought about that when I was talking about having peace in your marriage, when I was talking about being long-suffering and being patient in your marriage. How's that patience working for you? Is this an area where we need to grow? Some people look at the word long-suffering and they say, yeah, I got that down. I'm suffering for a really long time. That's not what the word's talking about. The word indicates that I am one who is long-tempered. And somebody looks at that and says, hey, I can take care of that. My temper lasts for a really long time. That's not what that's talking about either. It's talking about I've got a long fuse connected to my temper. I've got my temper over here, but connected to my temper is a long fuse. I can put up with a whole lot of stuff before it ever ignites my temper. How's your temper doing? How's your patience doing? How's your long-suffering doing? Can you imagine being Jesus? Can you imagine being Jesus where the Bible says in Luke chapter 23 that they crucified him? Luke chapter 23 and verse 33, it says that they nailed Jesus to a tree. How would your patience be working right about then? How would your long-suffering towards others be working right about then? How would your fuse, how long of a fuse would you have on your temper if somebody just nailed you to a cross? The very next verse, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If we are going to grow spiritually, it is going to require us to lengthen our fuse. It is going to require us to grow in our relationship with others, to grow outward and to extend our patience, to extend our long-suffering toward them. But there's a second quality that's mentioned there, and all three of these are closely tied together, and that's the one of kindness. Kindness. How kind are you to the people in your home? How kind are you to your family members? How kind are you to people you work with? Those of you who had the glorious blessing of just starting school again and you're so excited, was that not a glorious blessing? Apparently some of the faces are not all in on that description. Those of you who just started school again, how kind are you to people at school? You know, it's real easy not to be kind because you go to school, you go to work, you go into the world with people who are not kind. And when people are not kind to you, what do you want to do back? You just want to not be kind back. Give them a little dose of their own medicine. What about Jesus? Was Jesus kind? Even in times when Jesus was being mistreated, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 that though he was reviled, he was insulted, he did not revile or insult in return. When it comes to kindness, do you return good kindness for evil that is given to you? You know, sometimes we come here. And most of the time in this place, this is a place where we can be kind. Have you ever had a brother or sister in Christ who was not kind to you? Young people, have you ever had somebody in one of these Bible classes, one of your fellow classmates who wasn't kind to you? That frustrates you, doesn't it? That hurts you more than anybody else hurting you. What is our response? Be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Why? What's my measuring stick on that? Even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Ephesians 4 and verse 32. How's your kindness working? When we try to measure our spiritual growth, are we kind? How about our goodness? Goodness is closely tied to kindness. Goodness is that outward expression of our kindness. Was Jesus good? There's some who say God is good. How often is God good? God is good all the time. and all the time, God is good. How often was Jesus good? He had the reputation in Acts chapter 6 of somebody who went about doing good. That's how his life was characterized, as doing good. His kind heart, his kind disposition led him to do good unto all, even those who mistreated him. What does the Bible tell us to do? How are we doing in our spiritual growth? How are we doing in our outward growth? The Bible says, as you have opportunity. Problem is, some of us, we just close our eyes. I can't see the opportunity. I don't think it's there. God says, as you have opportunity, let us do good unto the nice people. Is that what Galatians 6 and verse 10 says? Let us do good unto the rich people. That'll be good. Then they'll give me something in return. Let us be good. Let us do good unto the government officials so that they will take care of me when it's there. Who am I supposed to be good to? Unto all men. Now, God did say, especially Christians, especially those of the household of faith. But God says we're to do good unto everyone. When we measure our growth, are we growing upward towards God in our love and joy and peace and serving Him? When we measure our growth outward, are we growing in our long-suffering and patience? Are we growing in our kindness and our goodness towards others? It seems that in that last category that God says, after you focused on your upward growth, after you focused on your outward growth, then you need to focus on your inward growth. It's not wrong to focus on yourself, not when it comes to spiritual growth. It's not wrong to look and reflect upon yourself and to say, how am I doing inwardly as a person in growing? And there's three things, again, that he puts in this category. God puts in this category faithfulness. And that's not just faithfulness to Him, be faithful unto Him until death. That is having a spirit and a character and an attitude of faithfulness. I'm trustworthy. I am reliable. Are you someone who is reliable? That other people can look to and to trust? Have you done anything that has destroyed trust between you and other individuals? As we look at our lives, as we try to measure our spiritual growth, we need to look within us. Was Jesus faithful? Jesus was faithful unto God. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 9, Jesus said to God, I have come to do your will, O God. God, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. The Bible also says that Jesus was reliable, dependable, and trustworthy to those who are outside. Are you faithful and reliable to others? You look at that second quality that's there in this third category. It's the quality of meekness. You might have the word gentleness in your Bible. How are you doing in gentleness or meekness? Sometimes we think that's weakness. We read about Jesus when He says that I am meek and lowly in heart in Matthew 11. And we think that's Jesus saying that He was weak, that he was a sissy, that he just let other people push Him around. The word actually means the complete opposite of that. Meekness carries the idea of having power, having authority, having ability to do things, but harnessing that power. Having that power under control. Did Jesus have His power under control? When He says, come unto me all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Was Jesus truly someone who held that power in? Remember Matthew chapter 27? When Peter wanted to start a war. Peter wanted to start a battle to save Jesus' life. He drew his sword in order to defend Jesus. Remember what Jesus said? Do you not think that I can call 12 legions of angels? Matthew 27, verse 12 through 14. What kind of power did Jesus have at that moment? Jesus had power to call angels to take him away. Jesus had power to destroy the earth. Jesus had power to kill everybody who was there. Jesus had power to allow his vengeance to come out. But Jesus had that power under control. How are we doing with our power? How are we doing with our temper? Do we have it under control? There are times when it is right to be angry. You know, it's not always wrong to be angry. Sometimes it's right to be angry, and I can be angry as long as I don't what? Be angry and sin not. I've got to have that anger under control. Did Jesus ever get angry? When he turned those tables over in the temple in John chapter 2, Jesus was angry. Was he out of control? No, he's not out of control. He's in control. As we look at ourselves, we need to measure our meekness. And closely tied to that, when we measure ourselves, we need to measure our self-control. This is one of those areas that is so difficult to master. The Bible tells us to not give in to the lusts of the flesh. The Bible tells men not to look upon a woman, to lust after her. And yet, the internet makes that so easy. And the way that some women dress in our society makes that so easy. To look upon them, to look upon their bodies, to get on that computer and to see whatever our heart might want to see. And God says if we're going to grow spiritually, we've got to learn to master those desires. Now, we don't do it by ourselves. God hasn't just thrown us to the wolves and said, figure this out on your own. What does verse 24 say? Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh. How can I crucify the flesh? How can I get rid of these passionate fleshly desires? How can I control them? Those who belong to Christ. You think Jesus will help you to overcome your temptations? You think Jesus will help you to overcome those things that are trying you? You think Jesus can help you to learn to harness those fleshly passions? He's the only one who can. How are we doing in our spiritual growth? How are we doing in growing upward in our relationship with God? How are we doing in growing outward in our relationship with others? How are we doing in growing and looking at ourselves and measuring ourselves not against ourselves or measuring ourselves against each other, but measuring ourselves against Jesus Himself? You know, there's not a single one of us who could not say, I've got some room to grow. There's nobody who is maxed out in their growth. Now, here's the problem. Physically, have you known people who have maxed themselves out in their height? And then as the years go on in their lives, they start to get shorter. Some of you know what that's like. That at one time you were so tall, but somehow the bones and the structure of our body has made us to become shorter. When you get to a certain level spiritually as a Christian, is it possible for you to start to come down and to get smaller and to even shrink from where you should be? What does that say about Christian growth? It is a constant process that we've got to engage ourselves in. I hope that this has been as beneficial for you as it has been for me. To reflect upon my growth as a Christian, say, where do I need to be? Am I growing the way that God wants me to grow? If you're not a Christian this morning, the question is, why not? You can become a Christian this very day, and when you become a Christian, you can become a growing Christian. To become a Christian, the Bible says you need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe He came? He died for our sins. He was buried in that tomb. And 3 days later, He came out just alive and even more so than when He went in. Do you believe that with all of your heart? If you believe He did that for you, then why don't you make up your mind the repentance part of this? Why don't you make up your mind to turn away from the sin that's separating you from God and say, I want to give my life to God. If you're ready to do that this morning, you can confess the faith that is in your heart and you can do just as they did in the New Testament. This isn't something the church has made up. This is something God made up. To be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins and allow the blood of Jesus to take away all of those sins you've ever committed. If you're ready to do that this morning, the church is ready. We have water ready. We have garments ready. You can be baptized into Christ this morning. And on your marker of growth, you can say, I've reached this point where I've been baptized. And now from here to eternity, I'm going to keep on growing. I'm going to keep on serving. I'm going to keep on putting Him first in my life. If we can help you in any way this morning to get your life right with the Lord, please come as together we stand and sing.